You're listening to Money Making Mothers with Carla Edwards, where we discuss the highs and lows of being a working parent, how to master the art of spinning plates, and remind ourselves that just because you became a mother does not mean your dreams no longer exist. You can have it all.
Hi everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Money Making Mothers, where I am joined by Sarah, aka the Mortgage Mum. She has shown that just because you've become a parent doesn't mean you cannot build a business around your children. And she's doing that for other women as well. She empowers females to go for their dreams, and she's also been a finalist on The Voice, which is a massive achievement. Positive lady with a good outlook on life, and everybody can learn something from her.
I'm Sarah Tucker, and I am founder of The Mortgage Mum, which is a mortgage company made up of women all over the UK working flexibly around their families. I was also a contestant on The Voice UK, which led to me setting up this company. And I'm a mother of two children who are 7 and 4, so still quite young, Sienna and Joshua. One girl, one boy. And that's me.
Great. Hiya, Sarah. Thanks for joining me. I didn't know that actually, you know, that it was a full run the UK. I thought it was just yourself. Is it?
No, there's nearly 20 of us now.
All mums? Mums?
Yeah. Well, there's a few that aren't mums, but that are planning well in advance for when they are mums so that they've got that foundation.
Oh, lovely. So that's like, do you oversee it all as well? Like,
yes.
As well as doing the job?
Yes. Jesus. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's completely different. I was doing this job around my kids and it worked so brilliantly. At the school gate, I'd pick them up. I'd be at the nativity play. I'd be at the school plays and, you know, the important bits that they really remember. And I was doing the job and earning really well and actually had time for things like singing and doing other bits and pieces that were for my self-development. And so many of my friends either didn't work at all because they just thought, I don't have the hours or the choice when I need to be at the school gate and I need to look after the kids. Or they were doing jobs they hate because they had to. They had to do whatever fit. So, yeah, once I got on The Voice, I had some courage to actually talk about my idea and just thought, what if I could set up like other people that can do this and I can train them and then they could just have the same balance I've got? And it's evolved very, very quickly into the mortgage.
How long has it been then?
So I launched it. I took on my first mortgage mum last September. A year and a month, and we've got 20 and we've got another load joining in January, hopefully. Yeah, I want to have loads. I want loads of, I think I just didn't realise how many women need it. I knew a few would need it, but I didn't realise how many. I think there's over 300 studying now for their CMAP. Not that I can take 300 women.
I know, but it is though, isn't it?
Like, them all.
We work in a similar industry and we can pick basically our calendar, can't we? Like we can work our life around our calendar. I mean, I'm guilty. I don't always do that, but you have got the option when you need to, and it seems so unattainable for a lot of people that you can actually manage your own diary and still earn good money.
Exactly. And it's doing an interesting job. It's not doing a job that you don't like. It's not it's interesting. It's your own career, but like you say, it is hard to get the balance right, because yeah, it's constantly there. I always say to the girls, it's like your phone's hot. It's always hot with business or clients at the other end of it, but you have to learn how to manage that.
Yeah.
Because it's never going to switch off unless everything shuts down over Christmas. So yeah, it's just as much managing that as it is the job. But we are very fortunate that we get to choose, and that's not always the case.
Well, on that, like leading into that, one of the first questions is, why do you do what you do? So obviously I know why you do what you do, as you just explained the main reason, but how did you end up getting into doing that?
So how I got into mortgages, I worked in mortgages years and years ago. One of my first jobs, really, as an administrator, before the credit crunch, about 3 years before. And I just loved it. I think sometimes you find a subject, you just think, oh, this is really interesting. It affects everybody. Most people have a mortgage. Most people have a home. Hopefully. And so it affects everybody. There's not really anybody I know that hasn't had a mortgage or is going to have one. So I found it really interesting. I was also a first time buyer, so I was super into it. Yeah. And then when the credit crunch happened, I left the whole industry behind me in an instant, as a lot of us did, went up to London and kind of just forgot about that world, had my daughter. And then once I had her, I just, I was chasing my singing stuff at that point. And I had gone for Britain's Got Talent, among many others over the years. But at that particular moment, I'd gone for Britain's Got Talent and I'd got all the way through to the judges because there's lots of auditions before. And they let me down, basically. They said, they've let me down many times, but they let me down this particular occasion. It just hit me really hard. They said on the Monday I'd be auditioning. I was so ready because I had my daughter. I think I was even more motivated. Yeah. And so for them to just let me down at the last minute, I'd had so many things happen before that, I just thought, I'm done, like I can't do this anymore. I've got a child now, I've got different priorities. And it was like a light bulb moment. I sat at my desk and it was almost like I just said to myself, what can I do? What can I do that will mean it's flexible, more flexible than London, I'm my own boss? And then mortgages just popped in my head and I thought, oh yeah, mortgages looked, that was really fun when I worked in mortgages. Maybe I could be a mortgage broker. And then I Googled it and obviously found out about your CMAP qualification and kind of just muddled my way through to being qualified and starting to work around my job and my kids at that time. And then eventually I took the plunge and left to go fully self-employed once I had both my kids. So it's kind of, I fell into it, but I chose it because I could see the picture of what I wanted. I thought, I can see my two kids, I can see me walking to school, I can see me doing mortgages, I can see that this could create flexibility for my family. And it's an interesting topic and I think I could be good at it. So that's why I became a mortgage broker and I set up the Mortgage Mum, because I wanted that same picture for other people. And I realised there's so many families that need it. And it's for the men as well, because everybody says to me, oh, you know, you're all about women. And yeah, I am. But it's for the men too, because there are lots of pressured families where the bloke has to go out and earn enough money so that the wife can stay at home with the kids or have a part-time job that doesn't earn very much. Yeah. So there's just as much pressure on them. So this enables families to go, well, you know what? Does that work for us? Are you the ambitious one or am I? And you can mix it up and share the responsibilities that you have. So yeah, I think it works for everybody.
Yeah, it creates more of a balance, doesn't it? Like,
yeah,
it's definitely less pressure for the man, but some men don't like it. Some men would probably take advantage, but I suppose every family is different, isn't it? And they've got to be doing it for themselves ultimately, haven't they? If they want to do it, like the women.
Ultimately. Ultimately,
themselves.
Yeah, and some women need permission to do something for themselves, and some women need to be told you can do this and you are good enough and you've got this. So many women need to be told that, probably all of us at some point. And I want to be that person that sees something in someone that they've forgotten about, that maybe has been turned off for a while, and pulls that out of them and makes them do something for themselves that ultimately will serve the family as well.
Yeah, because it's like anything, isn't it? Every family, whatever your role is in the family, whether you're the breadwinner, whether you're the stay at home, whether you're doing, you know, a side job, your role is vital in the circle of the family. And
absolutely,
it's amending it to suit not only you but your children, your husband or your wife. And like that, your type of industry, especially when you can pick and choose when you work, and you know the value in terms of what it brings in financially, so much better. I just don't think enough people know about it. It really,
no.
It's really, really under advertised.
Definitely, and your industry is the same, right? It's all very connected, isn't it? The insurance is. I could see this, you know, working for insurance brokers also. It's something I think scares a lot of people, because they see the letters after your name and they think, oh, financial advisor, I could never do that. I'm just not clever enough, or I don't have enough grades or whatever. But it's not to say anyone can do it, because it is a serious job and it is a skill, but lots of people can learn how to do it and can be really good at it. The main thing is whether you can listen to somebody else and care enough to try and help them and take what they're telling you and turn it into advice. And there's lots of people that have that skill.
You love your job, don't you?
Yeah, I do. You
can probably tell.
Like, yeah, you, I do.
You see your face when you're talking about it and you look so like happy when you're talking.
Yeah, no, I do, because you make a big difference. And I like to think that I'm doing something of value and making a difference by getting up every morning and trying my best. It's actually going to affect someone else's day. That's what gets me going. So whether it's a client or another mum, that's like, it feeds
that's
me.
Lovely, that, though. That's really nice. So how does it work then if you're managing, is it 20, did you say?
There's 19 at the moment, yeah.
So you, two children, husband, 19. How do you do all that, like juggling work and motherhood?
Sometimes it's a challenge. I don't really know, if I'm honest. I struggled a lot initially, and I've had moments of struggle along the way where I go, oh my, I can't do this anymore. I can't keep up with my own self. But lots of support, really. My husband's amazing. He's very supportive. But we went on our own journey of, you know, discovering, once I started what I call rising into this new version of myself, it rocks the boat. You know, people, your parents, your friends, your family, your husband, they're like, who are you and what has happened to Sarah? Because you're like this power hungry woman. I don't understand, like, you were just happy, what's going on? So it did rock our boat massively, but good relationships will grow and adapt and adjust. And I think then, yeah, we've adapted over the years to each like level of me changing something else. It is a juggle. I think it's important that you talk to your kids about what you're doing. So my daughter asked me not that long ago in the summer, Mummy, why? She said something about a theme park. First of all, we were in a theme park and we said, oh, would you like to work in a theme park? She was like, they're my favourite place. And she went, no, I want to own one. And I thought, oh no, I've erased. And she said to me, Mummy, how did you know you wanted to have your own company? Why did you have your own company? And I said, darling, I did not plan to have my own company at all. Like, it's just kind of happened because I had a good idea, and sometimes a good idea turns into a company. But the reason I do it is because lots of mummies and daddies aren't allowed to go to their children's shows, and they have to say no because their bosses have said no, because they're expected to wear a shirt and tie and be at a certain place at a certain time every single day. And so mummy wanted to create a space where mummies don't have to say no and that they can do those things. And she said, oh, so-and-so's daddy had that and so-and-so's mummy had that. And it just, she understood. So now when I work, I say to her, I'm working on the Mortgage Mum right now, so I can't do that thing.
Yeah.
But I will do this with you later. I do get mum guilt though. Everybody does, right? It's just a fact. Like, I think even if you did everything right, you'd find something to feel guilty for.
Like, I was watching, I'm really trying my hardest to understand TikTok at the minute, right? And I was watching this, like, there's some hilarious things on there, and then there's some actual really, it's like one end to the other, like, spectrum of the videos. And there was a girl on there, it was like mother, I think she had two kids, and she was doing like a video saying, like, she was showing everything she'd done in the day, which is a hell of a lot more than I've ever done in terms of in one whole day. Like, I'm talking like, she'd done craft, she'd done baking, she'd done book, she'd done drawing, she'd done like a walk. It, like, imagine the perfect mum day.
It sounds exhausting, yeah.
All in one. I haven't done that. And at the end, she was still like, have I done enough? And I was like, Jesus, it really is that it doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you're doing half of that, 1/8 of that, or whatever, you're never going to feel. That mum guilt never goes away no matter what you're doing, because you don't know. We're winging it at the end of the day. Everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have I done enough? Am I doing it right? Was that the right thing?
And yeah.
I think there's so much pressure to be this perfect mum when in reality, you don't even know what perfect is, and you're never going to achieve it because nobody knows what that looks like.
No, perfection doesn't exist. I've chased perfection my entire life. It's only in the last few years that I've realised it doesn't exist. And So I want my kids to not chase it. So I always say to them, no, no one's perfect. Nothing's perfect. It's either good or it's not so good. That's like the way it is.
Yeah.
But if only I could take my own advice.
Oh no, but it's easy to give it, isn't it? It's harder to do it yourself. But
but you're so right.
Said a true perfection has to be imperfect.
Yeah.
And it is true. It really is true. But it is hard because, like you say, you get caught up in the, like, you want everything to be perfect and you want everything to be right, but reality is that it's never going to be that way. It's
not. No, but the main thing I realise is these two kids, and I'm sure your three are the same, they love me. They look at me and they just love me. They just want me to be near them, listening to them. And hopefully sometimes I worry, because you worry about time, don't you? And you think, how much time am I going to regret spending on this thing instead of being with them? But there's never enough time. If you could play, with them all day and they'd still not want to go to bed that night and say, can we have one more story, one more book? So, I think they do adore their mums, and that's just in them. So if only we could see ourselves how they see me, because I'm sure it's nothing like how I think I'm coming across. Maybe it's what makes us good though, because if we think, am I doing enough? We continue to do better. But if the day we go, I've nailed it, I'm doing great, then we're going to get a shock when our kids are like in therapy, when they're an adult, like, you did this and said this to me. So we've just got to all do our best really and support each other, because back in the day, we brought children up together as women in tribes and circles. And I think we've forgotten a little way how to do that.
I think it's
started competing.
It was literally just at the word of my mouth, who's the best mum? Like, who's done the most? Who's done? And like, do you know which one? It's funny, it's coming up now. Which one I struggled with until last year was Christmas. Because before I was self-employed, it was like, obviously, when you're working Monday to Friday and Saturdays as well, I was working. It was so hard to get all those, tea with Santa, craft with Santa, let's go do the Wonderland, let's go and do this. And there was so many things I'd see everyone and think, oh my God, I feel so shit that I haven't took the kids to this and this.
Yeah.
And the first year when I was self-employed, oh my God, like by the end of Christmas, right, my son, like Jackson, the elder, said to me, Mom, I do not want to see another Santa. Like, I was like, hey, I had a list of all these things I'd wanted to do. And visit all, it cost an absolute fortune. It was draining. And at the end, I thought, why have I done all that? Like, just to say, like, oh, I've done what so-and-so did, or I've done, tried everything, the kids haven't missed a thing out. Like, literally this year, Jackson said to me a couple of days ago in the car, I was like, Mom, we're not doing any of those things this year, are we? Oh my God, it's the opposite. I've scarred them for life with, like, Christmas events. But
yeah.
I totally get it.
I mean, I get it with what I call school mum syndrome, where I'm just not as on top of the stuff as everyone else, because I'm juggling a lot and I'm trying to look after other women and whatever else, whatever excuse I make, I'm just not as on top of it. Mm-hmm. And people will say stuff to me, or I'm, I might have forgotten that it's something day at school, and we'll be preparing for it last minute. And I hate it. I don't like to be that person. But I'm sure there's loads more like me. It's just,
I'm that.
People just keep faces, don't they?
So those busy, last year there was the sticks, the like lollipop sticks. Make this lollipop stick into something. I was like, my 5-year-old said to me, Mom, this needs to be. And I was like, when? He's like, today. I was like, why haven't you told me? And he was like, it was later. I was like, no. Always tell Marco, don't give me the letter, tell me what needs to do.
There's too many letters.
But it's so hard to like do it all at once and do all those other things. Like, it's mental, it drains me, but I'm sure there's so many more women out there who feel the same way and just think, oh God, like, write her full name, postcode, phone number and emergency contact. Yeah, Teddy knows my name, that's it. Like, he knows where I am.
Yeah, but we've just got to start breaking down those barriers, I think, and just recognising what it is, it's not our fault that we do it either. It's how we've been brought up. It's the conditioning of women. That's just what's happened over the years. Instead of grouping together, we got taught to compare with each other. And this whole like who wears it best is the classic example of that. Like that is controlling us and wiring us to look to the woman to our left who looks gorgeous and goes, oh, do you look better than me? Are you doing that better than me? Are you standing better than me? Are you wearing that better than me? And it gets in your head. Yeah. You don't even realize it's happening. So it's not our fault, but I think it's the job of like people like you and me who have got a voice and who are having people listen to remind people that like we're here to be together and we're better when we're together and we rise above all of that stuff. But yeah, we're all prone to competing. The three C's, isn't it? Comparing, competing and criticizing. But I have to catch myself. If I find myself there, I'm like, oh, no. You know better than that.
From now on, that's a good tip that I'm going to, if I feel myself doing it, just remind myself that's not, it's not good for me, the kids, or the other person. It's not good for
anyone. It doesn't serve any of us, but we all do it. So you have to forgive yourself for doing it and then notice it. That's the first step. Notice, oh, I'm doing that again. Okay. I'm going to choose another thought.
Oh, I'm sure that'll help a lot of people listening to that. Like, I've never thought of it like that, but you're right.
Yeah, someone told me it, and I was like you, I was like, oh, whoa, tell me that again. Tell me that again. So, yeah.
So in terms of the whole journey into everything that you've achieved and what you've built up, what for you has been the most difficult part of it?
Definitely for me, the most difficult part was the beginning. I'd just come off The Voice, and The Voice was the biggest high of my life. I'd chased that high for my whole adult life, basically, since I knew I could sing at 17. And I knew is a loose statement. I didn't really know I could sing till probably I came off The Voice. But I chased this thing. And now when I talk about it, it sounds really fickle because I'm like chasing this TV moment. But that equaled something deeper for me. It equaled validation. Like I was never that person at school. I just craved, there was a part of me that craved that experience, and I'm really lucky that I had it.
Tell me coming about that experience, sorry, like who picked you?
Yeah, so I'd auditioned for X Factor many years, so it's important that people know I had loads of rejection and more no's than yeses, but I did have a couple of yeses along the way that kept me going. One of them being from Simon Cowell, who said, you have it but you don't believe you have it, and that's the problem. You need to start showing that confidence because it makes people uncomfortable if they can see you don't believe it, which I get. So I worked on that, but it's hard to teach yourself to be confident. So after sort of postnatal depression and whatever else, a lot of self-development, I applied for the X Factor again, like a glutton for punishment, and The Voice, because I was like, right, I'm going to do this properly and I'm not going to try and think what they want. I'm going to turn up as me, and that's it. That's my only target, is to turn up as myself. And as it happened, I went on X Factor first. That all fell through again. And then The Voice contacted me. I just had this feeling, like this gut feeling, that I thought, I think this could be it. I think this might happen this time because I've got my shit together. Excuse my language. Like I know who I am. I know what I'm coming with, and I'm not playing the same game anymore. I'm going to just turn up to sing. And I got a blind audition, which was just so exciting. So I showed Sienna. I was like, this is The Voice. She was really upset about Simon Cowell. She was excited to meet him. And I said, this is The Voice. And she was like, what is this? She was five. I said, if they like you, they just listen to your voice. They'll turn and they press their button and the chair whizzes around. And she's like, oh, wow. And I said, I want to get four. And she was like, whoa, mum, you're going to get four. I was like, do you think? And she's like, yeah, you're going to get four turns. I was like, that's what we're going to imagine. So what you have to do is imagine it. And if you imagine something, you feel it, it can 100% come true. Mum's had it with you. That's how I got you. And she was like, okay, I'm going to imagine, you know, getting this dress. And she had a couple of things of her own, but this was big because I was teaching her about it. Yeah. So it wasn't just about four turns on The Voice or that moment for me. I honestly felt like it was me validating to her that you've got a potential if you can train your mind. Yeah. And yeah, so the day of the blind audition, I prepared and I wanted Jennifer Hudson. So I'd made a mood board. If it was on the fridge, it had Jennifer Hudson's face going, you know, turning. Had four turns. It had The Voice. It had a microphone. And it was just, I was obsessed, to be honest. And yeah, I went on stage. I was so scared. I'd already had a panic attack and everything that day, but found my courage just before. It was like stepping out of an aeroplane. Not that I would ever do that in my life, but just before I went on, the woman kept saying, "Are you ready?" And I was like, "No, no, I'm not." And she's like, "Take a deep breath and off you go." And I was like, "Wait, just wait. Can you just give me a sec? Wait, just wait. I just need to take one more breath." And then as soon as I went on stage, it always happens, but something just washed over me. And I thought, okay, here it is. Like, here it is. This is the moment. So when they turned right at the blimmin' end, they made me sing the whole song. And I thought, I'm not going to get through. And she is watching me. But then, like all of us, we have the doubt, but we also have that other voice that whispers and says, "Hey, you've got this, you're good." And yeah, I had that doubt that when they're not turning, and it's still red. And then that voice just went, "You've got 10 seconds, just sing for 10 more seconds." So I closed my eyes and I didn't open them until the end. And I heard the chairs, I heard the crowd going mental, and I thought someone's turned. When I opened, I saw three had, but not Jennifer Hudson. And I thought, come on, you're the one I want. And then all of a sudden she turned around right at the end. And I just, I mean, if you ever see it, it's on YouTube, but I just stamped my feet and couldn't believe it, because I'd visualized it so much and I'd tried to imagine it so vividly. And I imagined her saying, "You sound a bit like Mariah Carey," which is what she did then go on to say. And I was looking at Sienna and I just thought, oh my God, I've just done it. Like, I've taught her the law of attraction at age 5. Like, what the heck is she going to go on to do? That's amazing. But also for myself and my teenager, like, I've just done it. I've finally had my moment and no one can take it away from me. It happened and it was magnificent. But the come down from those kinds of highs, getting through the battles, the knockouts, Will I Am, like, saying that, you know, he's going to do this or that with me, it was such a high. It took me places that I've never been, and then it just ended. Like, ends, that's it. You go home, Sienna's crying, I'm crying, mum and dad don't know what to say, John doesn't know what to do with me, and I didn't know what to do with myself. Like, I'd set this company up and I was on such a high, I thought, yeah, I'll be able to do a company, it's gonna be amazing. And I came off and I just thought, oh my God, this is like grief. Like, I don't even know what to do with how I feel. I feel so lost because I'm not the person I was going into it. I'm like this whole new version. And Sienna was watching me all the time, like, "Are you okay, mummy? Why didn't you get through, mummy? Why didn't she pick you, mummy? Why weren't you the lifeline? Because they told you you were going to be the lifeline." And I'm like, what have I done? Like, what have I done? I've taught her. What have I taught her? Like, I don't even know. I'm learning the lessons as we go. So it was really, really hard. That was the hardest bit, because I had to carry on with this business. And the business felt like a punishment to me, because I thought, this isn't what I want. I wanted to do that. I wanted to do all that stuff. I don't want to do this anymore. And but slowly, it healed me. Helping other people healed me, because these mums, them passing their CMAP exams, that felt like four turns to them. Do you know what I mean? That was their high, and they felt so good. And it just gradually got easier. But the beginning of starting any company or any new career is really hard, because you're so uncertain, you're so tired. And with kids as well, it's relentless, because you haven't got it all together and you're expected to keep carrying on. They still need dinners. They still need to go to school. They still need to be read to. Whether you're okay or not, that stuff has to continue. Yeah. So I think starting a company was definitely, I mean, that's a really long answer, sorry. But
oh, that's a really good, it's a really good answer, because it's like, you're being totally honest. Like, you know,
yeah,
the highs.
It was really hard. Like, people will see the mortgage mum now and be like, sorry?
They said, like, your highs are just as important as your lows, but like you said, it's like grieving, isn't it, when it doesn't go the way you want it to go?
Yeah, it was really hard. And people now will see the mortgage mum. Like, now they see the podcast coming out and they see that there's more women and they see all the glamour of it. And probably even my friends will forget about the year of graft, of designing all the logo and the documents and thinking, is this going to work, and cutting my salary in half to start a business. And you know, it was it all that stuff people forget, but it's so important that you know it happened. And you know, it's, I had so many tears over starting this company and so many doubts and so many concerns, and now obviously it's going brilliantly, but it's so important that people know it's not always easy, that road to success or wherever you're heading. You got to be prepared for the ups and the downs, and yeah, especially as a mother, that can be really, really testing.
So what is, as a mother, if you, I know you've probably touched, I think you've touched on it a little bit in that answer, but if your children could learn anything from you, what would it be?
I want them to be courageous. Courageous enough to fail and courageous enough to try, because the fear of failure stopped me from trying till I was 18. And that's such a waste of, you know, that's such a waste, basically. So I want them to be courageous, and to be courageous enough to be themselves from day one. And whatever that ends up like, that's what I want for them, is just to be brave, really.
That's a mint answer. I love that. I love everything. Honestly, I'm really, like, I didn't know much about you before this, and I love everything that you've said. I agree with all of it, if I'm being totally honest. So a lot of it resonates with me. And like you say, it's not people, I said this a couple of weeks ago, you don't always see the lows on social media, and, you know, nobody posts out the worst bit about your day. You only see the highs, and it's not always easy, but it's, I suppose, nothing worth happens easy, is it?
No, and I think we want life to be easy, but I think we're here to learn. That's what we're here for. Like, that's what I believe. So you learn by growing, you learn by failing, you learn by trying, you learn by being out of your comfort zone, even though I love my comfort zone. I love staying in my comfort zone. So yeah, I think it's not meant to be easy. That's the thing. It's not meant to just be watching Netflix and, you know, going out the weekend and having loads of money and going on nice holidays. That's all great, and you should totally do that stuff to enjoy yourself, but you're here for a bigger reason than just that.
Yeah.
So if you're struggling, it's because you're probably doing something that's hard and worthwhile.
And if anyone wants to find you, obviously, again, with your podcast and get in touch with you, where would they find you at?
So the Mortgage Mum podcast has only just launched, so we're on all the platforms, although I don't know why we're not appearing on Spotify yet, but I'll sort that out. So hopefully we will be on Spotify by the time you hear this. We're on all the social media platforms under Mortgage Mum, so LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. And if you're interested in the singing stuff, I have Sing Mother Tucker on Instagram, where I share a few bits of me singing.
Oh, brilliant.
Again.
I'm going to look at that.
Yeah, Sing Mother Tucker was intentional, because a lot of people go, oh, do you realise what you've done? And I'm like, yes, yeah, it was intentional. It's meant to be funny.
Get the joke.
So, yeah, that's where you can find me.
Well, thank you for your time today, taking up your busy schedule. I've loved it. You're really incredible.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to hopefully having you on mine soon.
Yes. I haven't done one yet, so that'd be interesting. But
amazing.
Like to be on. And I'm sure lots of women will take a lot from what you've just said, and they should really consider what you're saying in terms of their career and things. I think it'd be amazing for a lot of people out there who probably haven't thought that they'd be capable of doing it, but they are. And you're proof of that. So thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to the Money Making Mothers podcast with Carla Edwards. If you have enjoyed the show, then leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Make sure to tune in next time, and don't forget, you can have it all.